Luke chapter 16, verses 14 through 17. This is the word of the Lord. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone forces his way into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void." This is the word of the Lord. The kingdom of God is proclaimed, and everyone suffers violence into it. Jesus reveals the way of the Lord. Jesus reveals the way into the kingdom of God. Way of the Lord, the way into the kingdom, is contrary to the way of the Pharisees. The Pharisees desired to justify themselves before men, but the way into the kingdom requires that one be justified before God, that one be justified by God. The way into the kingdom is not through the exercise of violence. The way into the kingdom is through the suffering of violence. The way into the kingdom requires that one not exalt himself, but that one be exalted by God. And so the way into the kingdom requires that one humble himself before God. This the Pharisees would not do. The way into the kingdom is the way of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered. He did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Christ suffered his way into the kingdom for you. And he left for you an example that you might follow in his steps. That you might also suffer your way into the kingdom with him. And that is why, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. The Pharisees were seeking an earthly glory. The Pharisees were seeking an earthly kingdom. But Christ sought a heavenly glory. Christ sought a heavenly kingdom. And that kingdom, it cannot be taken by man from God. It is a kingdom that can only be given to man from God. It must be received by man as a gift from God. If you cannot receive the kingdom as a gift, you cannot enter it at all. The gospel requires that we humble ourselves before God. Something that the Pharisees would not do. Jesus reveals the difference between himself and the Pharisees. He does so in verse 17 of our passage as well. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. Now here Jesus reminds us that heaven and earth will pass away. The Word of God, that does not pass away. The Word of God cannot become void. And when heaven and earth pass away, the kingdoms of this world will pass away with it. Which is why we are seeking a kingdom not of this world. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. But what must come to pass before heaven and earth pass away if we are to enter that kingdom that will not pass away? What is required? What is required of us if we are to enter that kingdom that cannot be shaken? The law must be fulfilled. The law must be fulfilled. It is more permanent than heaven and earth. is stronger than the fabric of reality. God's word does not fall empty. It cannot fall empty. It must be fulfilled. When Jesus speaks of the law, he is speaking not only of certain parts of the Old Testament, but he is speaking of the whole of the Old Testament. When Jesus speaks of the law not becoming void, he is speaking of the Old Testament scriptures not becoming void. They must be fulfilled. This is what Jesus meant by the law and the prophets in verse 16. When we considered that verse, we noted that in speaking of the law and the prophets, Jesus was speaking of the Old Testament scriptures. And so also here in verse 17, in speaking of the law, Jesus is speaking of the Old Testament scriptures. Now we see that very explicitly in John's Gospel. In John chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus quotes from the Psalms. But he prefaces his quoting from the Psalms by saying, "Is it not written in your law?" Now, when we consider the Hebrew Bible and its three sections, the law, the prophets, and the writings, where do we find the Psalms? We do not find them under that first section, the section of the law, but we find them under that third section, the section of the writings. And yet Jesus speaks of the Psalms as part of the law. Is it not written in your law? And so there in John's Gospel, we see clearly and explicitly that Jesus, in speaking of the law, is speaking of the whole of the Old Testament. He is speaking of all the scriptures. And so also here in Luke chapter 16, in verse 17, Jesus is not only speaking of one part of the Old Testament or of one section of the Old Testament, but he is speaking of the whole of the Old Testament. The scriptures cannot become void. The scriptures must be fulfilled. And so they will be fulfilled. If they cannot become void, they will not become void. If they must be fulfilled, then they will be fulfilled. But in speaking of the scriptures as the law, Jesus reminds us of the moral obligation to keep it, to keep the law. And thus he reminds us of the justification that is required if one would enter the kingdom of God. If one would enter the kingdom of God, his justification must not be before men, but before God. His justification must not be by men, but by God. His justification must come not from men, but from God. And that justification, it comes only from a perfect keeping of the law. The justification that comes from God, a declaration of righteousness from God, it requires the perfect keeping of His law, the perfect keeping of all His words, a perfect and complete fulfillment of all the Scriptures. Which one of you can do that? Now, we said before that in these verses, in many ways, Jesus is teaching us how to read the Scriptures. And if we would understand our relationship to the Old Testament, then we must understand Jesus' relationship to the Old Testament. In the second century, Marcion rejected the Old Testament as Scripture. And even today, people continue to reject it, or at least neglect it. But it is not the case that the Old Testament is Jewish Scripture and the New Testament is Christian Scripture. No, both the Old Testament and the New Testament are Christian Scripture, for all the Scriptures are fulfilled in Christ. All the Scriptures hold together in Christ. The Old Testament without the New Testament, it is a story without an end, a promise without its fulfillment. But the New Testament without the Old Testament is a story without a beginning. The Old Testament was necessary. The Old Testament is necessary. The church needs both the Old Testament and the New Testament if the church is to possess the whole counsel of God, if the church is to understand the whole counsel of God, if the church is to proclaim the whole counsel of God. But notice what else Jesus says in this verse. He does not simply say that the law will not become void, but that not one dot of the law will become void. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. Now, what does he mean by one dot of the law? Well, it is very clear from this that he is speaking of the law as something that is written. He is speaking of the Old Testament Scriptures as written. And how are words written? They are written with strokes and dots. This is true in English. It is true of Greek. It is true of Hebrew. Jesus is here speaking of the text of Scripture, of the words of Scripture as they are written down. And so consider then what Jesus is saying. It's not simply the message of the law. It's not simply the message of the Old Testament that cannot become void. But even the letters themselves cannot become void. To take away from those letters is to take away from nothing less than the Word of God. This is very important for our understanding of Scripture. It is important for our understanding of Scripture as the Word of God, as a Word that cannot become void, a Word that cannot fail, a Word that must be fulfilled. It's not enough for us to say that the message of Scripture is inspired. It's not enough for us to say that the message of Scripture is the Word of God. But we must confess that the very words themselves are the very words of God. We don't have to get behind the text or read between the lines to find the Word of God. We have His Word in the very words that are written. The Scriptures do not become the Word of God. The Scriptures are the Word of God. And those words, they cannot become void. Even the smallest dot, it cannot be taken away. It cannot fail. It must come to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away. God's Word cannot pass away. God's Word cannot become void. It must be fulfilled. And the one who would enter the kingdom of God, he must fulfill it. He must keep the whole law. He must fulfill all the Scriptures. But who can do that? The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the kingdom of God is preached. The law and the prophets were until John. But after John comes the kingdom. For after John comes the Christ, the one who said, "I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law." He is the one came to fulfill the law. And by him the law was fulfilled. But when we look at that law, when we look at the scriptures, we see that the law included the promise of his suffering. The law required his suffering. And so he became obedient. And not only obedient, but obedient unto death. The one who came to fulfill the law, he became obedient unto death. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Christ entered the kingdom through violence. Not through others suffering his violence, but through him suffering the violence of others. He fulfilled the law by becoming obedient unto death. That is not the end. He died a cursed death, condemned by men, condemned by God. That is not the end. For God has raised him from the dead and declared him to be the righteous one. Christ's justification comes not from men, but has come from God. God is the one who has declared him to be the righteous one. His exaltation comes not from men, but has come from God. God is the one who has highly exalted him. So if we would enter the kingdom with him, we must be justified with him. His justification, it must become your justification. His righteousness, it must become your righteousness. His obedience, it must become your obedience. those who insist on justifying themselves will not enter the kingdom of God. Those who insist on being exalted in the eyes of men will not enter the kingdom of God. If you would enter the kingdom of God, your exaltation must come from God. If you would enter the kingdom of God, your justification must come from God. And if you would be justified by God, your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Your righteousness must be a perfect righteousness. Your righteousness must be the righteousness of Christ. And this God is pleased to give you. Not by works, but by grace through faith in Christ. By faith in Christ, the righteousness of Christ is given to you. By faith in Christ, the righteousness of Christ is counted to you. By faith in Christ, the justification of Christ becomes yours. You cannot take it by force. Receive it as a gift. The law has not become void. The law has been fulfilled. Law has been fulfilled by Christ for you. And so, when heaven and earth pass away, you will not pass away. Heaven and earth are shaken. You will stand. You will stand in the judgment. And you will enter the kingdom. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. A kingdom that is forever. whatever you suffer now. You will be glorified. Even though you die, yet you will live. So thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray.